Stay tuned for Bob and Yart Live. But first, here's our Denver Bible Church update with a little bit of a look into the Feast of Israel. Israel, that's a country halfway around the world. What are we talking about Israel for? Well, there's this book. You may have heard about it. It's, in fact, it might even be on a shelf in your home. It's called the Bible. You know that one that has all the dust on it? Just blow off the dust. And if you look in that book, it's largely about this nation Israel. And God told Israel, at least that's what the book claims, that one day they would have a Savior. But first, he said, I want you to keep these feasts every year. What feast? Well, the Passover. On a certain day every year in the spring, you have the Passover, and then immediately starts the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and then the Feast of First Fruits, and then the Feast of Pentecost, the Feast of Weeks. And what was that all about? Well, the Passover is where the Jews would take a lamb and kill the lamb and put its blood on their door, the doorway into their home. In the Feast of Unleavened Bread, there was no yeast in their bread for a whole week. In the Feast of First Fruits, they would take the very first fruits of the harvest and offer them to God. And then 50 days later, 7 weeks later, the Feast of Pentecost, then they had a special feast on that day. And what's so interesting is that 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ died on the day that the Jews were killing their Passover lambs. And he fulfilled the Passover. God said, when you kill the Passover lamb and put its blood on the door, don't break any of its bones. Why would God care if they broke any of the bones? They're killing the animal, and then they're cooking it. If you're going to kill an animal and cook it, what would it matter if any of the bones were broken? But it was symbolic. Because 1,500 years later, Jesus Christ died on a cross. And when the Romans went to break his bones, they said, well, he's already dead. We don't need to break his bones. So Christ died when the Jews were killing their Passover lambs. And then he is the bread from heaven. And he was put in the grave. And for 3 days, his body did not decay. 3 days later, he rose from the dead. You know, that was during the time when the Jews were celebrating the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Unleavened bread is bread that doesn't have any yeast in it. And yeast causes bread to decompose. That's why it rises. And Christ's body, it was prophesied in the Old Testament that his body would not decay. His body would not decompose. And then the day, that very next Sunday was the Feast of First Fruits. And that's the day on which Jesus Christ rose from the dead. So while the nation of Israel, they were keeping these feasts that they had kept for 1,500 years, on this year when Christ was crucified, on each of these days, the calendar days, the feasts were being fulfilled because it turns out they were prophecies. So on the Feast of First Fruits, that's the Sunday after the Saturday after the Passover, that's when Jesus Christ rose from the dead, fulfilling the Feast of First Fruits. And then there was the Feast of Pentecost. The Feast of Pentecost was 50 days later, 7 weeks, so 7 Sabbaths, and the next day, that's 49 plus 1, 50, on the Feast of Pentecost, that's when God poured out the Holy Spirit. And you know what it says in the book of Acts? In the book of Acts, that on that day, that's the day the Spirit was given, about 3,000 souls were saved. Back in the book of Exodus, the day the Ten Commandments were given, on that day, it says in the Bible, about 3,000 were killed. The law kills and the Spirit gives life. God gives life. So come visit us at Denver Bible Church this Sunday, 6200 West Hampton. This is Pastor Bob Enyart inviting you to come on out.
Service with the weekend and night.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Inyar, America's most popular, self-proclaimed right-wing religious fanatic, homophobic, anti-choice talk show host. Our phone number, 1-800-8-INYART. That's 1-800-836-9278. I just opened my file, my pot never killed anyone file. You know that file about marijuana? Because there's an article out of England about smoking marijuana and the effect it has on your mental health. But before I do that story, and then we'll go right to the calls, we'll start out with a call from Texas, 1-800-836-9278. But before that story about marijuana and your mental health, once in a while what I'll do is if there's a news story about somebody smoking pot and some crime is committed, sometimes I'll remember to jot it down on my computer. So like I have here, this 46-year-old bus driver, Frank Bedell, who used marijuana hours before the Mother's Day crash in New Orleans that killed 22 people. 46-year-old bus driver. And the marijuana use was the main cause of the wreck. That, according to USA Today, back in 1999, August 4th. So, and he died of a heart attack the following Sunday. And then how about here in Boulder, Colorado? I got this out of the Rocky Mountain News. Boulder, just up the street here from our underground bunker in the foothills of the Rocky Mountains. The owner of a store up in Boulder, the store is called Grassroots Hemp. You know, it's on the Pearl Street Mall up there. The store is called Grassroots Hemp. So anyway, the owner, Kirk Palmer, murdered an African immigrant. He had accused the immigrant of messing around with his girlfriend. All right. So, you know, I've seen that happen before where people have girlfriends and other people try to pick up their girlfriends. And so anyway, the owner of Grassroots Hemp on Pearl Street killed the guy who he accused of messing around with his girlfriend. It was an African immigrant. But here's the story for today. Regular marijuana use leads to greater risk of mental illness. Now, does this sound true or not? Because not every story is true. You have to process it. Here's the story. This is from Ananova.com, by the way, a leading internet news source. Regular marijuana users are at a greater risk of developing mental illness later in life, according to research. Later in life, I thought they were mentally ill already, but let's see what the story says. One study found that the risk was 7 times higher for heavy users, according to Professor Robin Murray of the Institute of Psychiatry in London. So Robin was speaking at the Royal College of Psychiatrists annual conference in Edinburgh, and he said, in the last 18 months, a number of studies have confirmed that marijuana consumption acts to increase later risk of schizophrenia. This research must not be ignored. So, and then a recent Dutch study of 4,000 people showed that those taking large amounts of marijuana, smoking it, not the ones that were using hemp in their ropes, but those smoking large amounts of marijuana were almost 7 times more likely to have psychotic symptoms 3 years later. Another study in 1987 of 50,000 Swedes found that those who admitted at age 18 to having taken marijuana, smoked it, on more than 50 occasions were 6 times more likely to develop schizophrenia in the following 15 years. So the professor said these findings have been largely ignored. Pot never killed anybody. Let's go to the phones, 1-800-8-NYART. That's 1-800-836-9278. 78 in Maybank, Texas. Tom, speak your mind.
Bob.
Yes, Tom.
Just remember, though, you can have a, like here in Texas, about a year ago, we had a bus driver.
Yeah.
Who was a drug addict, and he crashed the bus into a bridge, and he had a bunch of Christian kids from a church here in Dallas, and killed about 20 or 25 of them. And the preacher said that he blamed it on God because he couldn't understand why God...
Why God would do that. Tom, how long ago was that? I remember that story.
Yeah, I sent you the article, remember?
Oh, the newspaper article. Well, see, that is lodged in my mind. So what was with that bus driver? Do we know what caused the accident? The preacher, you know, a lot of preachers are inclined, if something terrible happens, to blame God.
Yeah,
to say God did it.
We just don't know. God works in mysterious ways.
Yeah.
And here I was reading the rap sheet. You know, the paper did a little bit of a rap sheet on this guy, and he had a history of drugs, and had been in prison, and didn't have a license, and our current valid license, and several other things. And it couldn't have been the bus driver's fault. It had to be God's fault.
Yeah, what a great point. All right, so we don't know about that guy, whether or not he was high or not. But, okay, I appreciate that. And what else, Tom? What did you call in about?
The reason I call is I want Sir Knight to jump in and stop this debate.
The debate on Theology Online?
Yes, because in a boxing match, when a fighter, you know, let's say the one fighter has the other one on the ropes, and he gives them 10 blows, unanswered blows.
Yeah.
The referee jumps in and stops it.
Stops the fight. You mean out of mercy for Zaketh the Atheist.
And so far, I think he's there's about 10 or 15 unanswered blows. And so I think Sir Knight needs to jump in and stop this.
Yeah.
And be merciful.
Well, we're going to have to get tonight the webmaster, the moderator for the Battle Royale 7 at Theology Online. Now, Tom, are you in your teens? You're a teenager? How old? What?
Huh?
Just what age category do you fall in? You a teenager?
Yeah, 68.
68. Okay, 68 years old. And the call screeners told me you're a rancher in Texas.
Yep.
Do you get on the internet and you browse around the web?
Well, I'm limited in my computer abilities, but I do know how to get onto your site, and I do know how to get onto the debate and read the debate.
Yeah, at theologyonline.com.
Yep.
I'm really impressed. That's thrilling. All right, Tom, we got to go to a break.
All right.
We'll be back after this. The order line here is 1-800-8-NYART. Hi, this is Bob Inyart with a live commercial break and listener-supported radio. We have here at Bob Inyart Live, we have a huge international megachurch ministry that pays the bills here. Oh, no, we don't. Well, all of a sudden, I thought I was some other talk show host. That's right. This is Bob Inyart Live, and I host this program here on KLTT Radio in Denver and on the web at kgov.com. And I get to pastor a church, Denver Bible Church. And that's pretty much my job, along with, you know, debating the itinerant atheist who happens to come along or special projects. And with Denver Bible Church and this show, our goal is to reach out to people and help people figure out, how do you keep from ruining your life? That's the goal. That's the challenge. if you look out in the world, you know, what percentage of lives, people's lives, are just fabulous? And what percentage are pretty miserable, pretty difficult? What percentage of people are just surviving? And if God made us, if there is a God, that's a debate on theologyonline.com. If there is a God, there is. And if he made us, he did. He doesn't want us to be miserable, but we are. Why are we miserable? Well, every time someone has ever hurt you, think about this. Every time someone has ever hurt you, it's because they broke one of God's laws. Every time you've been hurt by someone. Every time. When we hurt one another, it's because we disobey God. And if you like to be hurt, or if you like to hurt other people, then you can be part of the movement that says, I don't give a rip what God says about anything. I'm going to do what I feel like doing. And think about that. Every time someone has hurt you, it's because they have broken one of God's laws. That's why we're here at Bob and Yurt Live. You know, our legal system is so broken. We've got, I'm going to go to Texas here in a second, but this Oklahoma story from Sepulpa, Oklahoma, a convicted rapist, he should have been executed for raping a woman. They should have killed him for raping a woman. But no, they didn't. They, you know, they give him a little jail time, a little whatever, parole, whatever. Anyway, the convicted rapist, he's finally been sentenced to life in prison for spitting on a police officer. Not for the rape, but because he spit on a police officer. I tell you, this country of ours has gone absolutely berserk. All right, our phone number, 1-800-8-NYART. That's 1-800-836-9278. So let's go back to Texas. So, Tom, you're calling for the referee to stop the fight, stop the debate with the atheist, and that's duly noted.
Hey, Bob, I got one quick question for you.
Yes, sir.
And I think it's a very profound one.
Yeah.
You know, I've heard you say that sometimes somebody's, like you were just talking about someone one night, and you said their hatred for Bush was greater than their love for a million Iraqi people.
Yeah, that's people who are against the war in Iraq. This is how, when the war in Iraq, when people... that topic comes up. There are people who just hate the fact that we went to war. They hate it. And the way I analyze it, it comes down like this. And you just said it, Tom. I'll repeat it. That the people who were against us liberating Iraq, their hatred for Bush is greater than their love for the Iraqi people. They hate George W. Bush. I don't like George W. Bush. I'm not a fan of his. But I'm totally for the war. Their hatred for Bush is greater than their love for the Iraqi people.
And having said that, when I read Zakath, is that the way you pronounce his name?
Yeah, Zakath, Zay, like Z-A-Y.
When I read his writings, what comes across to me is that his hatred for God is greater than his honesty,
objectivity,
his hatred for God overshadows everything.
I think you hit the nail on the head.
And my question is it possible for a man to be a true atheist? Because I read in Paul, he says, you know, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men,
yeah,
who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because that which is known about God is evident within them.
Mm.
And so, if God put this evidence in us,
yeah,
is it really possible for these people to be honest atheists, or are they just have a hatred for God.
Well, Paul says in that same chapter, Romans 1, he says, although they knew God, they turned in their hearts and they basically began to despise God.
And Zacchaeus knew God because he was a minister.
Yeah, well, there are plenty of ministers who, you know, like the Pharisees in the Bible, who hate God. But, Tom, when Paul said, although they knew God, that tells us that we're made knowing that there's a God. The human race is, when we're born, the Bible says God put eternity in our hearts, and we know we're going to be around forever. We know that. But then we could start to deny it, and we could really try hard to deny it. But an atheist does not live by his claimed belief system. He doesn't believe as though there's no such thing as truth. He doesn't live as though there's no such thing as truth or no such thing as right and wrong. He doesn't live that way. So his very life denies his supposed belief system. But this is the way I'll answer that directly. Is Zacchaeus really an atheist? Does any Zacchaeus in the world, any atheist, are they really atheists?
Is it possible for them to be truly an atheist?
Let me give you, this is my answer. When they die and go to judgment day, not a one of them is going to be surprised when he sees God. Not a one is going to say, you know, I really didn't think you were real. Not a one. So although, you know, they give a very consistent intellectual argument that there's no God, but they don't live that way. They don't live that way.
No, I never really thought of that, but you're right. They're living a lie.
Yeah, because the atheists who say there's no such thing as truth, and they say everything is an illusion, and we make up our own reality, and I ask them, well, you must be a sicko because you made me, and you made AIDS, and you made global warming, you made syphilis, you made child molesters, you made rapists. If you make up your own reality, you are one sick dude.
Huh.
And so, right, so when they say we make up our own reality, they don't believe that. When they say there's no such thing as truth, they don't believe that. When they say there's no such thing as right or wrong, I like to ask them, well, let me prove something to you by showing you something in your wallet. So I say, what, my wallet? Yeah, do you have a driver's license? They open up their wallet. If there's any money, I say, could I see that? Whose face is on that green thing there? Pull it out. Jefferson, $20 bill. I put it in my pocket. Well, what do you – give me that money. Give me that. It's my money. What do you mean it's your money? There's no such thing as money. I'm an illusion. Everything's an illusion. There's no such thing as truth. There's no such thing as right and wrong. And they feel wronged. They're hypocrites.
Yeah, but you know, it comes down to their hatred for God.
Yeah.
They have a hatred for God.
You know, the atheists at Theology Online in the grandstands, the ones who are commenting on the debate, a Christian asked them, is it wrong? They said, is it absolutely wrong to walk up to a homeless man sleeping on the sidewalk? Now, this is a Christian asking an atheist.
Uh-huh.
Is it absolutely wrong to walk up to a sleeping homeless man and shoot him in the head and kill him? And the atheist, as simply as could be, they say, nope, 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 no.
If they were the homeless man, they'd object.
Yeah, right. Yeah, the Nazi Holocaust, where the Germans slaughtered 6 million Jews and many other people, and you ask the atheist, was that absolutely wrong? And his answer is no, it wasn't absolutely wrong. I wouldn't do it, which, to tell you the truth, is not very persuasive. But I wouldn't do it. It's not preferred from my perspective, but from other people's perspective, it was preferred. And their perspective is no less valid than my perspective. That's atheism.
Right.
Atheism.
Right. If there is no God, then whose opinion is right?
Yeah, atheism undermines morality. The only morality atheists have is the morality that they've stolen from theists. And stolen goods don't tend to bring you very far.
Well, all right.
Anything else, Tom?
No, that's it, Bob. I just wanted to run that by you that I just didn't think it was possible that anybody could really be a true atheist.
All right. Well, so the question is not, does God exist? It's, does atheism exist?
Yeah, somebody said to me the other day, they said, do you think Carl Sagan accepted the Lord? I said, or believed in God? And I said, well, he does now because he's dead.
Right. Yeah, I'm Bob and Eric Live. Every so often when a famous atheist dies, we claim him as a creationist.
You know, I remember Carl Sagan, he had a test tube, and he was shaking it up, and he was electrocuting it, and he was heating it, and he was blowing it up, and he was shocking it and freezing it and telling us how life could have popped into existence, you know. And you remember when he used to do that on his television program?
Yeah, well, I remember. I never saw it, heard stories.
But, oh, he did everything. He had stuff he put it between glass and electrocuted it. And he was, trying to get some kind of bacteria, you know.
Well, you know what? Maybe he was trying to get an amino acid. But if you got an amino acid, hey, Tom, to have life, to have life come by chance, you need a lot of proteins. I'd say 100 different kinds of proteins for the simplest possible life.
Uh-huh.
And if you want to get one protein, let's say you already have 99, you're just waiting for the one last protein. And so you need a couple hundred links of amino acids in the right order to get, by chance, that last protein. Well, imagine if you had every atom in the universe, and every second, every atom interacted 100 million times. And every time, it created a completely new and different molecule. So every atom in the universe interacting 100 million times per second, and can you get that one protein molecule? Not in 100 billion, billion years.
Well,
you couldn't get that one just based on simple mathematics.
You know, I've lost a lot of cattle out here. You know, calves die, you know, at birth and stuff.
Yeah.
And I've done everything to them, shake them and pray over them. But when they're dead, they're dead.
Yeah, atheists want life to spring up from non-life. And if that's going to happen, why doesn't it happen out of a dead carcass? They're saying, if you just happen to get all the right elements together in the right, at the right same time, in the right way. Well, then just take your next dead fish, put it in a blender, and see what life comes out of it. Because there are all the right elements all together. How many times do new life forms spring out of cemeteries? It's just so stupid.
Not since Jesus.
Amen. God bless you.
Okay, Mom, I'll let you go. God bless.
All right, see you, Tom, from Texas. Appreciate that. 1-800-8-NYARDS, 1-800-836-9278. So this rapist in Oklahoma, gets life in prison. Now, that's not executed. We prefer, if a man rapes a woman, that it just gets executed. That's it. A man rapes a woman, just kill him, execute him, let the government execute him. And then women will not be raped so often. Wouldn't that be better to have the rapist pay instead of the women? Bob Enyard here. This is a live commercial break. Welcome to this commercial. You know, live radio is a bit weird. And right now, for the next 10 seconds, we're still only on the internet. Only you guys listening on the web can hear this. In 6 seconds, we're going to be on in Denver also. So stay tuned. Welcome to the Denver audience and everyone out there in radio land and on the internet. This is Bob Enyard in a live commercial break. And over the years, how many years has it been now? 12 years? We've told you about some of our materials. And, you know, we've got a video called Bob on Drugs. And that's when a heroin addict called in and we got to have a nice chat with the guy. And we've got Terry's call, where Terry Johnston from Knoxville, Tennessee. Terry was a homosexual living in Knoxville, and everyone he knew was a homosexual. And everyone at his church, I think he went to the Metropolitan Community Church, everyone at his church was a homosexual. He tuned into this show. He called in. That's when we were on TV. And he basically explained why he hated me. And, you know, we had quite an interesting conversation. And about 20 minutes in, he started to cry. Now, why would a homosexual cry when calling up a Christian show and one that he hates? Well, I made a comment to him, and you could see the whole story in the video called Terry's Call that we have. Go to our website, kgov.com, and check it out if you'd like to order it. I said to Terry, the homosexuals that you've been with, they haven't loved you. They have used you. And those men you've been with, you haven't loved them. You have used them. And that's when he started to cry, and he admitted he had advanced AIDS. And we sent him money to come out to Denver to go to church with us. He became a Christian on the way here. He died. There's hope when there's still life. Welcome back. Bob Enyard Live, 1-800-8-ENYARD, 1-800-836-9278. So pot never killed anyone, except for all the people that it killed. But don't worry, pot never killed anyone, but it sure will make you stupid. That's pretty much unavoidable right off the bat. So these studies, these are significant studies. This one in Europe, it's of army conscripts, and they find that pot users, people have used pot for, say, a year, once a week, they were 6 times more likely to develop schizophrenia in the next 15 years. And that's similar to another study in Europe, a significant study, where the pot users were 7 times more likely to develop mental illness. Isn't that interesting? That is so interesting. You know, there's so many things that are said in our culture. They're just said, and people believe it. And, for example, have you ever seen a bumper sticker that says, animals are kind to dumb people? Have you ever seen a bumper sticker that says, animals are kind to dumb people? Have you ever seen that? Let's see, I'll ask my show engineer. Have you ever seen such a bumper sticker like that? Animals are kind to dumb people. Have you ever seen that bumper sticker? Yeah. Yeah. Studio audience has seen it. I've seen a bunch of those. All right. Animals are kind to dumb people. Now, those are put out by animal rights people because, you know, they want to say how nice animals are. And see, the Dumb Friends League, have you ever heard of the Dumb Friends League? That's the animal rights people. Animals don't speak, so sometimes we say that they're dumb. In other words, somebody who can't speak is a mute, or they used to say he's dumb. So the Dumb Friends League is a group of people that help animals. So there's a bumper sticker that says, animals are kind to dumb people. And I wonder, I have this story here out of the Associated Press from Florida. And a 10-foot alligator attacked a 12-year-old boy who was swimming near a marina in central Florida. And the police said that the alligator killed the 12-year-old boy. What an absolutely tragic, terrible nightmare of a story. We have seven boys. Such a tragedy. And so the police tell us this alligator was so nice to this kid. Oh, he wasn't nice to him, was he? He attacked him and he killed him. And the boy wasn't hurting the alligator. You know, animals eat people. That's what animals do, given the opportunity. Now, not all animals. A sheep would not eat a person. But animals that have the ability to eat people and get a little hungry, then a lot of those animals will eat people given the opportunity. And you know something else animals do? We humans, when we eat animals, a lot of people talk about animal rights, and animals do have rights. They have the right to be hunted, the right to be killed, the right to be cooked, and the right to be eaten. And if God didn't want us to eat animals, he wouldn't have made them out of meat. I mean, why make them out of meat? So animals have, well, they don't really have rights, but we have an obligation to animals not to torture them, right? No human being should torture animals, you know, for the fun of it. Here, I'm going to torture this animal. That's sick. That's a sick thing, and that's wrong to do. But it's not because animals have rights. It's because human beings have obligations. And you can't possibly raise the rights of animals without lowering the rights of humans. Do you ever think about that? The animal rights groups, you know, I asked Robin Duxbury. I don't know if that's a real name that she was born with, but she's the head of the Rocky Mountain Humane Society. At least she was when I had her in studio in a debate. And I asked her, she is big on animal rights. We don't have the right to eat animals. We don't have the right to have zoos. We shouldn't have pets. No leather. No animals. So I asked Robin, I said, well, Robin, how about this experimentation on fetal pigs? You know, they do experiments on pigs before the pigs are even born. How about killing a fetal pig? That's wrong. Is that absolutely wrong, or is that just your opinion? That's wrong to kill a fetal pig. Are you pro-choice? Of course I'm pro-choice. You hypocrite. It's wrong to kill an unborn pig, but you defend the right to kill an unborn baby boy or little girl? So I asked Robin, how can you possibly, what's happened to you in your life that you've gotten to the point where you say it's wrong to kill an unborn pig, but it's right to kill an unborn little boy or girl? What's happened to you? What's happened to you? What has hardened your heart as a woman and as a mother to be able to say that? Man. And, you know, she didn't have an answer. And I gave her my answer on the air. I said, Robin, I don't know you. Just saw your name in this newspaper story. Called you up. You came to the studio. I think you've had an abortion. Have you had an abortion? And she wouldn't answer. And she got rather angry. But what other reason would a woman come to the conclusion? And women are the ones who bear children for 9 months. They feel the kicks. They feel the moves. The baby in the womb gets to know his mother's voice and can distinguish the mom from any other voice. Did you know that? One woman researcher did studies in China and in Canada. And she had mothers read just anything, read a story, and tape recorded it. And then she had other women read the same story. And she played these stories to the babies in the womb. And this researcher, who's not a Christian, not pro-life, just a secular researcher, She said that the babies recognized their mother's voice, immediately recognized their mother's voice, and when they played another voice, they could tell that the baby was trying to figure out who was speaking. When the mother speaks, the baby became extremely comforted and relaxed and calm. And when someone else spoke, the baby got real, like, say, rigid, and his heart sped up a bit. He's trying to figure out, who's that? Who's that? I don't recognize that voice. Who's that? Where's mom? Mommy, where are you, mom? So how does a woman get to where it's wrong to kill a fetal pig, but it's good to kill my own child? How does that happen? Well, you cannot raise the rights of animals without lowering the rights of human beings. You know, I said that once on Politically Incorrect, that TV show ABC with Bill Maher, the show that's now just been canceled. I think Bill Maher now has a cable show like Politically Incorrect. But I was on that show, and it was the very beginning of the show, and the audience is typically just a bunch of people visiting Hollywood, average Americans, which means they're generally liberal. And I made that point. The very beginning of the show, I said, there's no way to elevate animal rights without denigrating human rights, and the whole audience applauded, a rousing cheer. And I knew at that moment that they had no idea what I just said. They just didn't know. They thought it was probably something they might agree with. But you cannot raise the rights of animals without lowering the rights of human beings. And that's what happens. So animals are kind to dumb people? No, animals will eat people given the opportunity. This poor boy, Brian Griffin in Florida, he was pulled under the dark water minutes after two friends spotted alligators and screamed for him to get out of the river where they had been swimming. Deputies and witnesses saw the alligator surface at least once with the boy in his jaws, but the animal quickly disappeared across the river. The boy was under for 25 minutes before a sheriff's helicopter spotted him and dropped a buoy to guide deputies who pulled him up, and he was pronounced dead that night at a hospital. What a shame. A 14-year-old boy who was swimming with Brian said, "We saw gators all day. Every time we saw them, we would get out of the water." Now that's tragic. What a shame. You know, people don't know right from wrong. Kids are rebellious. They don't want to listen to wisdom, listen to authority, and they destroy their lives one after another, and it's not going to end until it's all over. one 800 8 NYARD. This is a live commercial break, and I want to invite you to remember that number just in case during the week some debate topic might come up. We're not a 24-hour, 7-day-a-week information service, but we have so many resources. For example, let's say you're thinking about the death penalty, and is the death penalty right or wrong? Or maybe there's a debate on overpopulation, and somebody's telling you it's not right for you to have another baby because the world is overpopulated. That is such a cruel thing to say, isn't it, to someone? If you're standing at a checkout counter in a grocery store and you have your 4 or 5 kids with you, and some liberal says, "Boy, I'm glad it's not me," then you just say, "So are the kids." That's all you have to say. So are the kids. The kids are glad it's not you too. But whether it's the death penalty, or let's say it's miracles, somebody's sick, people are praying for the sick person to get healed. They're not getting healed. Why aren't they getting healed? People believe whatever the issue is that comes up in your life, you could consider calling us at 1-800-8-NYART, 1-800-836-9278, and ask us. Let us know. Here's what I'm going through in my life right now. Here's the topic on divorce and remarriage, or on government, or what's right and what's wrong regarding the government, regarding the death penalty, regarding the war on terror. As Christians, what should our position be on XYZ? And if you've got our number handy, 1-800-8-NYART, that's 1-800-836-9278, then during the week when that debate comes up or that question comes up or you're really curious, you can give us a call and we'll let you know if we have something that'll help out. But on the other hand, you might want to subscribe to our monthly albums. Once a month, for $34.95 a month, we mail out to families around the country a Bible study album that typically has six tapes in it. Usually six, sometimes more, once or twice less. And you get a Bible study on everything from Genesis to Revelation. An overview of the whole Bible, predestination and free will. Once a month, a different topic. You'll love it, so call. Scooby-Doo. All right. Now, my kids here at Bob and Yart Live, we encourage parents to protect their kids. And the younger they are, the more you need to protect them. From what? Well, from the influences around them. Let's talk about, would you say that Eminem is a good influence on kids? Eminem? Maybe just like, or how about just rap in general? Like, I can't even repeat. When, you know, there are two rappers that I got to do interviews with. There was, what's the guy's name? There's an electronics firm with the same name. Cisco, and then one of the first rappers was Coolio with the dreadlocks. So anyway, so I got to talk to those guys, and with Cisco, it was on Politically Incorrect. I asked him about the lyrics to his songs. You know, his lyrics say things like rape your sister, rape your aunt, rape your mother, and leave her in the gutter, stuff like that. So I had the lyrics to his songs in my pocket, and I said on the air, Cisco, what do you think about the message you're sending out to men and women, to young people? Oh, man, it's, you know, they just groove to the tunes, man. So, well, Cisco, let me read to you some of your lyrics. And I took it out of my pocket and showed him. Would you read that line right there to the audience so that people in the light of day can hear what you're telling kids? And he began to slither down in his chair like a snake. And then we went to a commercial break. And during the break, I asked him, I said, Cisco, do you think God wants you to say things like that to other people? And he said, no, I don't think so. So I said, then what are you doing it for? What are you doing it for? You should not do that. He said, oh, that's a good point, man. And, you know, that's typical, I think. These guys, so anyway, I'd say Eminem is not a good influence on kids. So at our home, Cheryl and I, we monitor everything, music, movie, shows, everything our kids watch and listen to that we can, everything. And our little kids, they don't turn on the TV and watch TV. They watch videos. Michael, the three-year-old, sometimes he'll say, Daddy, put on Fox News. Okay, so we put on O'Reilly. And you have to protect them from him, too. But anyway, so we watch the news. We watch the Broncos, the Avalanche, and videos. Kids, VeggieTales, cartoons, the Lucy show, Lucille, I Love Lucy from the 60s or 50s. That's the kind of thing we'll watch with the kids. But just about a week ago, for some reason, the kids turned on just regular, like, cartoon channel. And I think they were watching Scooby-Doo, but I'm not sure. So generally, I don't have any problem with Scooby-Doo. But generally, we would not let them watch that because of everything else that's on that channel. They think the channel's fine. And so I watched for 1 minute, and here comes a commercial, and there's Eminem. And this is on a cartoon for little kids. I don't know if it's, you know, it's little kids time of the day, little kids cartoon, and here's a commercial with Eminem. And I think, I don't want my kids to think Eminem or any other loser rapper is a fun guy, a cool guy, a good guy. I've got a 2-year-old, a 3-year-old, and a 5-year-old, and I don't want that kind of influence. So then I'm the heavy, I'm the bad guy, and I come in and say, kids, we can't watch Scooby-Doo. Now, that's tragic. Because, you know, the more corrupt the world gets, the more like tyrants good dads get. Good dads become tyrants. If you're a good dad in America today, you're a tyrant toward your kids. Because our society will destroy your kids if it has the opportunity. And for you to protect them, you're virtually a tyrant. So the kids, of course, they couldn't understand, why can't we watch Scooby-Doo? So I explained it to them, and we have good, obedient kids, and they're just trying to suck it up and figure out, well, okay, all right, we can't watch Scooby-Doo. So I wanted to explain it to them. But one of the things I did was said, since we can't watch Scooby-Doo, we're going to go get you guys 2 videos. They love VeggieTales, all kinds of videos. So we went out right then and there, right then, and we got 2 videos that they absolutely loved. But then I wanted to explain to them why they couldn't watch Scooby-Doo. And here's the example I gave them. If you're going to talk to little kids about why they can't watch a TV show, separate your hands about 4 or 5 feet apart and wiggle your fingers on each hand and say to them, point to the hand on your right and say, these are the good guys, and on your left, these are the bad guys. And on this TV station, they have shows with good guys and shows with bad guys. But what they want to do is very slowly they bring the 2 groups of guys together. They bring them together very slowly. So on another show, the good guys and the bad guys are not so far apart. And then on another show, the good guys and the bad guys, and you keep your fingers wiggling until your hands are touching. Let it take about a half a minute or a minute from your hands to get far apart to where they're touching. And you say, and on some of the shows on this channel and some of the commercials, they make the good guys and the bad guys so that they're all mixed up. And you cannot tell the good guy from the bad guy. You can't tell the good guy from the bad guy on some of these shows, on some of these stations, on some of the commercials. And I asked my kids, the first time I asked them, they didn't know the answer, of course. 2 days later, my 5-year-old Zachary, our Zachary, he knew the answer. I said, if you're watching shows and they mix up the good guys and the bad guys, and pretty soon you can't tell the difference between who are the good guys and who are the bad guys. I said, if you can't tell the difference between the good guys and the bad guys, what does that make you? And of course, the first time, they didn't know. They were very interested. They totally followed the discussion. And they didn't know, what does that make you if you can't tell the difference between the good guys and the bad guys? And today, I asked that question of our 5-year-old Zachary to see if he remembered. I said, Zachary, and I wiggled my fingers and put them in between each other, my 2 hands. I said, if you can't tell the difference between the good guys and the bad guys, what does that make you? And he said, It makes you a bad guy. That's right. It makes you a bad guy. Because the bad people don't know good from bad. Evil people, the Bible says, woe to those who call evil good and good evil. And if you can't discern between good and evil, you're evil. Now, if you're saved by Jesus Christ, you're saved and you're identified with him and you're now righteous, although you could still really be confused and hurt other people and hurt yourself and sin, you're not instantly, you don't lose your flesh when you become a Christian. But if you don't know right from wrong, then that makes you a bad guy. And so I explained to my kids, that's why it's not because this Scooby-Doo, I've never watched Scooby-Doo in my life. I don't know anything about Scooby-Doo. I just know he's a dog that has a sore throat. That's all I know. Nothing else. I cannot name one character in the whole series. Not one plot, not one setting. I don't know if it's in a taco stand, or I don't know if it takes place in Tokyo, or no idea. But I said, it's not that we're saying that Scooby-Doo is bad. But the people who run the TV station, those people, they mix the good guys with the bad guys. So if you young kids start just turning on the TV and watching shows, then you're going to be watching a show, and in the commercial, there's Britney Spears. And there's Eminem. And it's only going to take a dozen of those commercials before you're going to identify with them and want their music or want to read about them in a magazine or want whatever it is they're selling you or they're telling you. And they are bad people. Britney Spears is evil. Eminem is evil. And so that's why we don't let our kids just turn on the TV, not even Nick at Night, Nickelodeon. No. No, if there's a TV show on that we want them to see, we need to be there with them monitoring the show. If they're watching the Avs, Avalanche, or the Broncos, forget the commercials. Just the Christian families that I know that we've talked to, which are many, turn off the commercials in Bronco games, for example. Now, I don't know what percentage that is, but it's got to be the more conservative Christian subculture. You know, typically the large families with the higher incomes that turn off the commercials. And so, you know, they put sex and seduction in commercials to apparently get more attention. But they lose a lot of attention also, and they lose loyalty. And they generate a lot of ill will to these networks, stations, shows, sports teams. So there's a battle out there, and it's, well, what are the odds? Well, God and you are a majority, right? You and God are a majority. So that's comforting, but then you realize it's not that majority rules anyway. It's that God wins. Have you ever heard this saying, God said it, I agree, that settles it? Well, shorten that. Just God said it, that settles it. This is Bob Inyart reminding you to do right and risk the consequences.